Rational
Radio.
The following podcast is for educational purposes only. It should not be considered as a substitute for psychotherapy with a trained mental health professional. Welcome to Rational Radio. My name is Micah Perkins. I'm your host. We're going to be talking today about the three insights of REBT. Back in the early 1950s, when Dr. Albert Ellis began to form what later he would call rational emotive behavior therapy, he came up with three conclusions, or what he called his three insights. So I'm going to briefly discuss what the three insights are, and then we're going to talk later on in more detail about them. Insight number one, it's not what happens to us alone that determines our feelings, but it is our thinking, our beliefs about what happened, which also contributes to our feelings. Insight number two, although our beliefs may have been formed in the past, we continue to re-indoctrinate ourselves with them now in the present. And insight number three, it is only through hard work and practice that we can overcome these self-defeating beliefs and replace them with more self-helping beliefs. So now that we presented those, I'd like to talk about these in more detail. First, insight number one, it's not what happens to us alone that determines our feelings, but it is our thinking, our beliefs about what happened, which also contributes to our feelings. One of the common misperceptions about REBT is that it teaches that thoughts alone cause our feelings. And part of the reason for this misconception may be because Dr. Ellis likes to quote the Stoic philosopher Epictetus. And he uses this quote, "People are disturbed not by things, but by the views that they take of them." Dr. Ellis later, in one of his books, Feeling Better, Getting Better, Staying Better, says this. He says, "The REBT theory of how you disturb yourself is more comprehensive and precise than that of Epictetus. It says people disturb themselves by the things that happen to them and by thinking, feeling, and acting on them. You work hard by thinking, feeling, and behavior to upset yourself. Fortunately, as a constructionist and a problem solver, you can work at not doing so. You have choices." So Dr. Ellis maintains that REBT believes that beliefs, feelings, and actions are interreactional, that it's not a linear model, that there's a situation, a thought, and a feeling that actually are beliefs influence our feelings and actions, our feelings influences our beliefs and actions, and our actions influence our beliefs and our feelings. Dr. Ellis has admitted, however, that there has been times in his writings that he seems to state that it is beliefs that cause feelings and actions. And actually, during one of our trainings in REBT in New York City, I asked him if he could do something different about his model. What would he do different? And he said that he would stress that point more, that there's an interaction between beliefs, feelings, and actions, and that it's not just beliefs alone which cause these things. Beliefs contribute to these things, but don't directly cause them. So REBT uses many different methods to try to help the person deal with these beliefs. Emotive methods, behavioral methods, as well as cognitive methods. In addition, REBT believes that a person's biology and their genetic predispositions affect how a person feels and behaves. You can compare it to a medical condition like high blood pressure. So with high blood pressure, one can control it with diet, exercise, using behavioral methods. One can control it by helping to reduce their stress, by changing their thinking about things. But some people may, their genetic predisposition for high blood pressure may be so strong that they can't control it with those methods. And so they would need medication to help supplement their diet, their exercise to try to help them control their high blood pressure. So, for example, if a person has a strong genetic predisposition for depression, then RABT can be very helpful in helping that person to manage depression, but there may be times when medication, antidepressant medication, may be needed to help supplement that work. Also, when you look at other things, bipolar disorder, psychosis, people who suffer from schizophrenia, things like that, again, those types of disorders may need and frequently need medication to help manage those, but RABT can help in addition to using those medications. So moving on to insight number two, although our beliefs may have been formed in the past, we continue to re-indoctrinate ourselves with them now in the present. I was working with a client a few years ago. In talking with him, he began talking about how he was severely emotionally abused as a child by his father. And he talked about how his father told him that he was no good. Anything that he ever did was never good enough. Those types of things. It's just these constant phrases, feedback that he got from his father. And so in talking with him, he says, that's the reason why I'm so depressed, is because of all those things that my father told me. And one of the questions that I asked him, I said, well, is your father, is he here in the room with us right now? He said, well, of course not. He's not here. My father's it's dead. He passed away 10, 15 years ago. And I said, okay, well, if your father's not here in the room with us now, then who's the one saying those phrases? That I'm no good, you're no good, you can't do anything right. And he said, well, it's me. I'm telling myself those phrases. And so we began to focus then on those phrases that he was telling himself, those tapes, if you will, that he was playing in his own head. So even though his father had been dead for quite a while, he continued himself to use those phrases and repeat them over and over in his own mind whenever he would mess up, do something wrong. So frequently, as humans, especially as children, frequently we learn our self-defeating thoughts from our interactions with others, from our parents, teachers, society in general. And as children, we are very susceptible to those thoughts, and we're not able to logically look at them and to conclude that they're not true. You think about the story of Santa Claus. Many of us believe that Santa Claus existed whenever we were children because our parents told us that Santa Claus existed, and we didn't have the capability to logically look at, is it possible for one man to go around the earth to give presents to every single child? We couldn't look at that and come to that conclusion. We just accepted because that's what we were told. Now, I hope I didn't offend anybody. If you still believe in Santa Claus, that's fine. That's up to you. please, I hate to destroy your belief in Santa Claus on the second podcast. As children, we accept those things. But as adults, we get into trouble when we continue to accept things, and that we accept them and we don't question them at all. Also, in addition to accepting these self-defeating thoughts from our interactions with others, especially in early childhood, we frequently construct our own self-defeating thoughts, draw self-defeating conclusions based upon our own interactions and observations. So, for example, you're walking in the mall, you see a coworker, you say hi to him, he doesn't look at you, he just keeps right on walking, doesn't say hi back. Then I may draw some conclusions from that. First of all, the evidence, what actually happened was I said hi, and he didn't say hi back. But I then may conclude that, you know what, he didn't say hi back to me because he's mad at me. He must be mad at me for some reason. Well, what could I have done that he's mad at me? It was that one day that I said I'd bring donuts and I didn't bring them. That must be it. Oh gosh, he's mad at me. That's terrible. That he's mad at me and that I did this wrong thing. I'm such a horrible person, and I end up making myself suffer because I've drawn this conclusion based upon very, very little evidence. So we frequently construct our own self-defeating thoughts about our interactions with other people in the world. Insight number three, it is only through hard work and practice that we can overcome these self-defeating beliefs and replace them with more self-helping beliefs. Now, this is the real sticking point, because we may be able to see that it is not what happened to us alone that causes us to feel happy, angry, sad, anxious, that it's our thoughts about those things. We may be able to accept that. We even might be able to accept that, you know what, it's me, myself, that continue to repeat these own beliefs in my own head. We may be able to accept that, but when it comes to insight number three, this is really where the rubber hits the road. It is only through hard work and practice that we can overcome these self-defeating beliefs. Dr. Ellis differentiates between, he calls them two different insights, intellectual insight and emotional insight. And intellectual insight is being able to accept insight number one and two, that it is not what's happened to me alone that's making me feel this way, but it's my thoughts about what's happened to me. Insight number two, that I keep repeating these own beliefs in my own head, and that's what's making me miserable. That's intellectual insight. And the person may be able to see that, but they still strongly believe deep down inside they're no good, or they still strongly believe deep down inside that the world must treat them fairly. Even though they can see that those things don't make sense, they still strongly believe those things to be true. And so these are people that whenever you present some of these concepts to them, they'll say, well, yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I still don't feel better. I still feel depressed, or I still feel anxious, and you know, I'm still mad all the time. And so emotional insight then is bringing in that third conclusion, that third insight, that it's only through hard work and practice that we can overcome these self-defeating beliefs. That's something that's hard for a lot of people to do. As humans in general, most of us don't really like hard work. Most of us do the minimal that we can to get by. Most of us have hard times overcoming our habits. You look at New Year's resolutions. How many people on January 1st come up with a New Year's resolution? And then what is the percentage of people that by, oh, I don't know, March, are still following through with those things? Very, very few. And I'd venture to guess that there's probably a lot of people out there who don't even make New Year's resolutions anymore because they've done it so many times and failed at it so many times that they're to the point now that, oh, well, why even do that? Because I'm just going to fail at it anyway, so I'm not going to even try to do that. Real interesting statistic that I heard a few weeks ago is that 70% of people who undergo bypass surgery, who have had this life-threatening condition, who have surgery to try to help treat that, and then are given the diet regimen, you know, the new diet routine, who are then given the exercise routine to try to help them manage this condition so that literally to save their lives, 70% of those people stop the new diet, don't follow it, stop the new exercise routine, don't follow it, within a year of their surgery. 70%. So in looking at that, changing behavior is just difficult. It's just hard to do. And as insight number three says, it's only through hard work and practice that we can overcome these self-defeating beliefs. If I have told myself throughout my life a million times that I am a worthless, no good person, then it's going to take more than just a few times of writing down in my journal that, you know what, I'm not a worthless person. It's going to take more than just a few times of me telling myself that I'm not a worthless person to overcome that self-defeating belief. It's going to take practice, and hard work to overcome those thoughts and beliefs. And quite frankly, most people aren't willing to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons why things such as some of the other more traditional approaches to psychotherapy, where you kind of envision, like you see on TV, someone comes in and lays on the couch and basically just talks for an hour to their therapist, doesn't really do any hard work, just rambles on about their problems, then at the end of the hour, that's it, and then they leave. That's why that's so appealing, because it's not really hard work. You're just sitting there talking about your problems, and that's it. And, you know, the therapist is empathetic and understanding, and that makes a person feel better. But does it really help a person to get better? And that's one of the things that Dr. Ellis emphasizes, and has actually written a book called Feeling Better, Getting Better, Staying Better, in that even though there's a lot of things that we may do to help us feel better, is it really helping us to get better? Is it really getting at the core of the problem, or is it just kind of masking the issue for a little while? And so what we're going to be talking about in these podcasts are not only ways that you can feel better, but ways that you can actually get better and improve the quality of your life. If you'd like to look at my notes on this podcast, please go to rabt-cbt.net. There'll be a link to the notes from this podcast. I have on there the references that I used for my notes. Also on that podcast are some homework suggestions. Between now and the next podcast, which will be in a few weeks, a month or so, you can look at these homework suggestions and consider doing a few of those to try to help the learning experience, help this to become a real learning experience for you, as opposed to just listening to the Sunday sermon and then going on with the rest of your week and forgetting about it by Monday morning, to really integrate these principles into your life. I also suggest to simply just listen to this podcast several times throughout the week to remind yourself of these principles and to continually think about them. Well, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to talking to you next time. Thank you very much. Have a good day.